Good morning. This is Rhode Island Public Radio. It's Friday, July 7th. Steve Brown, the executive director of Rhode Island's American Civil Liberties Union, visited our studio yesterday to talk about a range of issues. I'm Chuck Hinman, in for vacationing Ian Donis, and we're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay.
Good morning, everyone.
Steve Brown, welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Chuck.
We've seen the passage of that revised Community Safety Act in Providence, which addressed racial profiling. This is an issue that the American Civil Liberties Union has been concerned with for a long time. What do you think about the passage of that and the progress that has been made?
I think passage of the CSA is a very important step. What we need to see right now is how it gets implemented, and that really is key. There's a working group that's been organized to examine that. Everything is good when you have it on a piece of paper, but you always need to see how it actually gets enforced. So I think only time will tell. I mean, racial profiling is not an issue that's going to go away no matter how many laws you pass. But what you hope to do is at least address through statute, through ordinance, some of the practices and policies that may unintentionally or not encourage that type of conduct. And so we're hopeful that this is a step forward.
Another hot button issue the ACLU's cared about for years is reproductive rights.
Yes.
There was legislation up in Rhode Island this year, but it didn't seem to go anywhere. How do you feel about that bill?
Well, the ACLU is strongly supportive of this bill. In essence, what it does is codify into state law the tenets of Roe versus Wade.
So if the Supreme Court should essentially repeal Roe versus Wade and kick this issue back to the states.
Correct. I think there is a concern and legitimate concern among those who support reproductive freedom about what the newly constituted U.S. Supreme Court will do on these issues. We know that this right has been hanging by a thread for many, many years. And so not just Rhode Island, but other states are looking into this concept of codifying Roe versus Wade into law to protect Rhode Islanders in case there are overturnings at the Supreme Court level.
Well, Scott, you said this didn't go anywhere this year. What do you think the chances are of it ever going anywhere here in Rhode Island?
Well, I think what'll happen is, as Steve just mentioned, when this actually gets kicked back to the states, the legislature isn't going to be able to kick this can down the sidewalk anymore. Then it will become very clear that something has to be done if abortion is to remain legal in Rhode Island. The one thing I'm also interested in from your perspective, Steve, I know you're a little bit upset when immigration officials arrested someone at the courthouse,
yes,
a Syrian national. And it seems to me that it's very difficult if you're going to arrest people at the courthouse to have justice done. If you're an undocumented person, you're probably not going to go seek justice. If I'm a witness to a murder, say, why am I going to go to the courthouse and testify if, in fact, I may be deported because of my testimony?
That's right. These ICE enforcements are actually a danger to public safety. And that's why you've seen a lot of police chiefs across the country raise concerns about these ICE actions.
Including our police chief here in Providence.
And including the Chief Justice of our state Supreme Court.
That's correct.
Who also made some public comments expressing concerns about what happened. You know, it really is so counterproductive. It's counterproductive in terms of not encouraging witnesses to crime, victims of crime to come forward. But it also means that people don't have access to justice, which is one of the key elements of our judicial system.
Where do we stand on the understanding of what a sanctuary city is and what the policies of Providence and other places are going to be measured against what the federal government wants to do? You
know, sanctuary cities is really just a made-up term. It really has no legal meaning, and you can interpret it however you want, even though some at the federal level are talking about sanctioning sanctuary cities. What a lot of communities are doing, what we've been urging communities to do, are pass ordinances, pass laws that do provide protections to immigrants in their community without in any way violating federal laws that are already in place. I mean, there is a role for at the local level that concerned public officials can play in protecting immigrants in their community. We've drafted a model ordinance and, asked municipalities to consider adopting it, called on state officials to take action that they are able to take under the law. And, you know, we're hopeful that they will do that, because right now there are too many people living in fear, unwilling to come forward when they are the victims of crime or witnesses to crime. And we really need to create an atmosphere as much as we can in light of what's going on at the federal level to try to make people feel more comfortable here in Rhode Island.
We've seen efforts at the municipal level, Cranston, Providence, to try to crack down on panhandling. How about those ordinances, and what do you think should be done in this instance?
Well, as you probably know, the ACLU successfully sued Cranston a year ago over a panhandling ordinance. We're actually getting ready to file a lawsuit against the city again for a revised ordinance it adopted. You know, these are really just attempts to hide poverty. You know, we don't like to see these people panhandling, because it reminds us that, you know, there's a lot of blatant poverty going on out there where people have to be out on the street panhandling. It's not a solution just to ban it. It doesn't address the issue at all, and it has serious First Amendment ramifications. You know, the idea that you can punish somebody, put them in jail for asking for money for themselves, when we get bombarded with requests for money from all sorts of organizations for others, you know, there really is no distinction.
Yeah, I've noticed that nobody wants to stop the firefighters from filling up their buckets for charity when they do these same kind of solicitations.
Yeah, nobody complained about that, which has been going on for years. It only became an issue when panhandlers proliferated in some of these communities. You know, and as I said, I think it's really unfortunate that the response of some communities, not all, but a few, is to go after the panhandlers rather than go after poverty. But most municipalities have actually been very thoughtful about it and have not passed the types of ordinances that Cranston has.
Do you see the no smoking ordinance in Providence recently in the same light?
We do. And a lot of all the organizations that work on advocacy for the homeless really saw that ordinance as an attempt to get at the poor and the homeless who are around Kennedy Plaza. You know, one of the ironies of this latest ordinance is a couple years ago, the city council passed an ordinance banning smoking in Burnside Park to get at the homeless. And so the result is they moved more towards Kennedy Plaza. And so the response is, well, now we need to ban smoking there. So I'm not quite sure where it ends. But again, it's an example of not getting at the problem.
Just moving it around.
Moving it around, exactly.
Well, there's so much to talk about, but we're going to have to hold it there. We're out of time again. Scott, thanks.
Great to be here.
And Steve Brown of the Rhode Island ACLU, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Chuck.